February the 2nd, 2010. Living and Dying with Honor, Bible Study Lesson Number 125. Then that we have the series continued with it, Obedience to God as Man, Bible Study Lesson Number 37. Elemental Theology Document, Conservative, the third edition, was published in 1960. He makes this quote: in every normal individual, there is an innate desire to know something of one's ancestor and ancestral history. And what is true of us as racial representatives of the human species or other being? What is man? And what's Kami? What is man? And what's Kami? We need to understand and consider who Adam was before and after the fall. We've gotten down to the principal point. When Adam ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he came on the first divine judgment of a Gentile, a member of the Adamic human race, as the father of the race, the head of the race, and suffered immediate spiritual death. Who was Adam, and what brought this about? Do we fully appreciate our first ancestor? Before we begin, let's pause for silent prayer to give you time to make sure you're on the filling of the Spirit and have absolute objectivity to teach you in the Word of God. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your word, for your word is absolute truth. We claim you and thank you for giving us one more opportunity to teach, one more day to live, Father. Each day is a grace gift from you. Our physical health each day is a grace gift from you. Our eyesight, our ability to think, to function, to walk, to speak. Help us to appreciate every good gift that comes down from you, Father. And we ask you to sanctify and bless this teaching. May it be a spiritual edification to those who study it. In Christ's name, amen. I remind you that in the dispensation of the triune Godhead, Alpha, pre-creation history, God the Father wrote the book of creation history. Isaiah 46:9-10. God wrote the entire book of creation history down in the dispensation of the triune Godhead, which was pre-creation eternity. Isaiah 46:9-10. Remember the former things long past. The New American Standard Translation I'm reading from, by the way. Remember the former things long past, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is no one like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, information times, the things which have not been done. Saying my purpose will be established and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. King James says, my castle shall stand. God is in control. God the Father included every historical detail in his divine decree. Ephesians 1:11. Also, we have obtained inheritance, having been predestinated according to his purpose, who worketh all things after the counsel of his will. It is important to understand that the Father's counsel is the eternal scheme of all things adopted by the divine unified mind of the triune Godhead. It embraces all of the Father's original designs. It includes everything in the creative and redemptive program of the Godhead. It embraces all of the free volitional actions of spirit beings and of men. The Father's divine decree is all-inclusive. It therefore excludes any other action. The Father's divine decree is his decreed will in action. It consists of his revealed and secret will, Deuteronomy 29:29. I've taken you there many times. We need to go there again and review this because we're going to show you, maybe for the first time, you can understand what the fall of Adam meant. Not just to you in need of a Savior, but to the whole concept of history. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of the law. His revealed will is recorded in the canon of Scripture, i.e. the Word of God, the Holy Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16-17, I quote you. My doctrinal translation, all Scripture is God-breathed is given for doctrinal teaching, for proof, for correction, for instruction, of righteousness, the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 1 Peter 1:19-20. How many times have you heard me throw out the passage here? 2 Peter 1. I said 1 Peter, 2 Peter 1:19-20. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well, that you take heed unto the light that shineth in the dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but only men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And Revelation 22:18-19. The summarization of the whole thing, John caught up to the third heaven, given the great revelation of Jesus Christ, spoke these words. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Life is called eternal because it was from eternity which is past into eternity which is to come. It is the life of God revealed in Jesus Christ, who is God. John 1:4-5:26, 1 John 1:1-2. The life of God which was revealed in Christ is imparted in a new birth by the Holy Spirit, acting upon the word of God to every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, John 3:3-15. The life that's imparted is not a new life except in the sense of human possession. It is still that which was from the beginning, but the recipient is a new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17, Galatians 6:15. The life of God which is in the believer is to be unsevered part of the life which was eternally was, eternally is in Christ Jesus. One life in him and in the believer. The vine and the branches, the head and the members, 1 Corinthians 6:17, Galatians 2:20, Colossians 1:27, 3:3, 4:1. I'm sorry, 3:3 and 4, verse 4, in 1 John 5:11-12, John 15:1-5, and 1 Corinthians 12:12-14. God has given us the complete count of Scripture to understand who and what He is and what He has for us. His revealed will includes His directive will, which is for is all that for which He holds the Adamic human race accountable. For salvation, John 3:16-18. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. His long suffering us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. His revealed will as it relates to the Christian way of life. You and I are accountable. Scripture says that we shall all give an account to Him. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I'm assuming no one listening to my tapes is not a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. The day is going to come and we're going to stand before the beam of the judgment seat of Christ and be held accountable. That's why Scripture speaks clearly, Ephesians 5:17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The Father's permissive will consists of all of the sin and evil which He allows to occur, but for which He is not the originator. God is not the originator of sin and evil. I part company with a lot of my friends who are under the concept of the issue of the sovereignty of God when it comes down to sin and evil, because even though sin and evil is all in the divine decree under His permissive will, it is His permissive will that placed it there, not His directive will. And though He will work it together for divine good, we must take every scripture literally for what it says. James 1:13 says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth He any man. Joshua 24:14, I should give you with that. But man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed And when the lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it finisheth, bringeth forth death. Man walks in the ways of sin because man is fallen. And even the redeemed saved, we're still sinners. Sinners saved by grace and sinners who still commit sins. When someone says, I don't sin anymore, they immediately have just lied because we all sin. It may be a sin of omission. It may be a sin of commission. It may be a verbal sin. It may be a mental attitude sin, which is pride, jealousy, envy, covetousness. It may be the sin of unbelief in something that God has said. Joshua challenged them in Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, Egypt, and serve you the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the God which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So his permissive will consists of sin and evil, which he allows to occur, but which he is not the originator, nor is he the cause. His overruling will consists of his direct intervention in creation history to prevent sin and evil from going beyond the limits to which he has placed it. When Satan was given his parole, or released on his own recognizance, I should say, in the dispensation of the sons of El, the spirit beings, the angelic world, he was sent forth to settle the spiritual warfare and the angelic conflict as it related to his appeal to Satan and to God. We have pointed out that. How could a righteous, loving God send one of his created beings to the lake of fire for eternal incarceration, suffering? Or, secondly, how could a righteous God not send a sinful creature to the lake of fire, even when he created, thereby creating what Satan thought was a paradox, or Lucifer, as he was known at that time? The third part of the appeal, how can an infinite God know the needs of a finite being? Well, God made an agreement with Satan, Lucifer, the devil, same thing, same person, in which God told him, this is what I will allow you to do. This is my permissive will. But I will set these boundaries and you will not go beyond them. And when Satan's work attempts to go beyond these boundaries, God interferes in his overruling will. Psalm 76:10, surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, the remainder of wrath shall thou restrain. Now remember, God knows the end from the beginning, so he's never caught by surprise by Satan. He's not reacting to what Satan does. He has intentionally, eternally intended and purposed how to answer what is being done. God has given man volition. God decreed volition. But God has decreed the results of volition will be. The ones who believe in Christ are saved. The ones who do not believe in Christ are damned. It's that simple. John 3:18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he that believeth in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The wicked shall be turned into Sheol, the grave, the King James says hell. And those nations that forget God, God removes nations from the earth for their involvement in evil. I love my nation, but my nation has long been involved in evil. I pointed out many pastors, the close friends of mine, questioned me over the fact as if we have no right to criticize the things that we see wrong within our nation. And a dear friend of mine sent me an email a year or so ago and told me that he thought that when you go down and vote establishment life, you vote for the best you can under establishment life and move on. I said, but voting for the lesser of two evils is still voting for evil. Well, I might be right, he said. That wasn't the way he looked at it. God allows us to make decisions. Our decisions will either line up with the Word of God or they do not line up with the Word of God. The Father's discretionary will, though I should have given you with that 2 Thessalonians 2:6-7 also, for the restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit as a part of the overruling will of God. The Holy Spirit is working today to hold back the forces of Satan until the time is right for the coming of the Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians 2:7-8 says, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth." The word "letteth" there means hindereth in the Greek. "Will let or hinder until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed, and the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." He speaks of the Antichrist there. The Antichrist cannot appear on the earth until the Holy Spirit allows him to. The Father's discretionary will consist of all non-essential decisions made by men. We're allowed to make non-essential decisions. Genesis chapter 2, when Adam was in the garden, verse 16, "The Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." This is the discretionary will. The Father's secret will is his actions he is performing behind the scenes of creation history to sustain, preserve, and protect creation and bring to being maximum glorification of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This will all be brought about in the dispensation of the fullness of time. That's why we quote to you so often Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. "Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might bring together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him." We put that with the entire first chapter of Hebrews, which we're not going to take time to read, the Father's proclamation. When the Lord Jesus Christ was seated at the right hand of the Father, you're free to read that after the class is over with. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5-11. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Doctrinal translation, "keep on thinking same thoughts and attitudes, which is also in Christ Jesus. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." The plans and purposes of Satan have already been declared to be a failure, and his doom is sealed. John 16:11 makes this very clear. Satan's doom is settled, but he's running his course of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Satan is the prince of this world. 1 John 3:8. That was John 16:11, of course. 1 John 3:8. John was a great one on clarifying things that were very pertinent doctrine to us. "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil saith from the beginning, for this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Christ is coming to destroy the works of the devil. He has come to do it, and he is coming again to do it. He will finish the work at the second advent. Satan will be bound for 1,000 years in the bottomless pit, and he will be released. He will be allowed to tempt one last time unsaved people, those who were born in the first phase of the triune. First phase of the theocratic kingdom, Christ's 1,000-year reign upon the earth, over believers and unbelievers alike. There will be no unbelievers when it begins, but people will be born during that 1,000 years. They will refuse to believe in Christ, and Satan will come out and run a program to them at the end of the 1,000 years, and they will buy the program. When that is over, Revelation 20:20, it says, "And the devil that was seized them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night for whatever." Christ is headed the lake of fire, which was created according to Matthew records, the devil and his angels. Members of the Adamic human race can plan and purpose in any way they may choose. The Father will turn their plans and purposes to the final end, which he has predetermined and fixed in his divine decree. You may go your way and do what you're going to do, but all things will be brought together for the ultimate glory of God. God allows Satan evil so his grace can work and he can put the counsels of man must fail. Proverbs 19:21. There are many devices in a man's heart, nevertheless the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. The Lord's not going to fail. His plan is not going to fail. It's going to pass the test of time. We remind you, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, we remind you, refers to the dispensation of the triune Godhead, which existed in the eternal infinite state before the material thing came into existence. The Hebrew Bereshith, B-E-R-E-S-H-I-Y-T-H, meaning in the beginning, which was without beginning, the dispensation of the triune Godhead. Elohim, the name of God. How many times have we pulled out the power of the name Elohim? Elohim is the first of three primary names of deity. It is a unit plural noun, fell from El meaning strength and a strong one, and Allah, meaning to swear. I assume you can all spell Elohim, E-L-O-H-I-M by now. Allah means to buy, swear, to bind. Oneself by an oath, so implying faithfulness, the unit plurality implied that the name is directly asserted in Genesis 1:26, and the plurality led us. And then the unity is seen in Genesis 1:27, 1:26 shows the triunity of God in latent form, and God, Elohim, said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God, Elohim, created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female created them. We see the unity there in verse 27. Genesis 3:22, King James translation. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil, and now let us put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. What we have here then is the unity again seen in Genesis 3:22. Thus the Trinity is latent in Elohim, meaning primarily the strong one is fitly used in the first chapter of Genesis to introduce us to all things related to God's creative acts and work. In the beginning, which was without beginning, the dispensation of the triune Godhead in the infinite past of pre-creation. The dispensation of the triune Godhead, in which we also call the dispensation of Alpha, which exists in the eternal infinite state before any material thing had come into existence. The triune Godhead is one God, Deuteronomy 6:4. For our God is one God. The God of Israel is one God, not many gods, but one God. There's a total unity there, and there's a total unity that is laid down out of that in all the plan of God and all that he did for God. Hear, Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. One God that demands and deserves total commitment from man. The triune God is one God, subsisting in perfect unity as the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Matthew 28:19 reveals God to be a triune being. Now, the word Trinity does not appear in the Bible, but the triunity of God is clearly expressed and seen throughout Scripture. In Matthew 28:19, it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name. The name is singular. The name is singular, not plural. The word is the same name, not name. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the final name of the one true God. It affirms that God is one, that he subsists in a personality which is threefold, indicated by relationship as Father and Son, and by mode of being a Spirit, and by the different parts taken by the Godhead in the manifestation of the work of redemption. Spirit's work is seen in John 3:5 and 6. The the Father and the Son in John 3:16-17. In Matthew 3:16-17, Mark 1:10-11, Luke 3:21-22, the three persons are in manifestation together. The conjunction in one name of the three affirms equality and oneness of substance. Also in 2 Corinthians chapter 14. I'm sorry, chapter 13 there. Of course, there is no chapter 14, verse 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. It is necessary to use language of accommodation for our finite minds to comprehend infinite knowledge. Scripture explains to us in simple language that the Father, Son, and Spirit held an eternal conference. At the conference, the Father is eternal, sovereign, supreme, wise, only omnipotent, perfect, progressive, unfolding, complete, comprehensive dispensation of grace, protocol, and plan of the ages for the maximum glorification of the Son of the Lord Jesus Christ was adopted. Isaiah 14:26-27. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth, and this is the hand that stretched out upon all the nations. For the Lord of hosts hath purposed that who shall listen now, and his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back. The universality is significant and marks the whole passage. In Isaiah, they refer not simply to the near judgment upon Assyria, but as a yet larger sense to the final crash of the present world system and its satanic rule at the end of the age. That is the dispensation of Hebrews, the future 70th week, age of the 70th week of Daniel. John 1:1-2, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was anything made that was made. God created, began all things. All things began in God. The eternal conference that was held between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, in which the covenant of the glorification of the Son was adopted, of which the covenant of grace is a secondary part of, secondary issue, because it's a part of it, the whole simple principle and motivation behind the Father's plan was the ultimate glorification of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13:20, now the God of peace that brought us forth, brought again from the dead, our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. The eternal covenant, literally in the Hebrew, in the Greek, I'm sorry. The Father's plan was perfect. In the beginning, God created, established beyond question, that evolution has no scriptural support and therefore cannot be true. However, it takes faith to accept God's explanation for creation. Hebrews 11:1 makes this clear to us. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. We are commanded to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Romans 1:17, Habakkuk 2:4, Galatians 3:11, Hebrews 10:38. The object of the faith was through the Word of God, Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The theory of evolution came forth from the distorted genius of Lucifer, i.e. Satan, the devil. Satan dwells in the kingdom of darkness, Colossians 1:13. He hath delivered us from the power of darkness, that translates us in the kingdom of his dear Son, alright, from the power of darkness. Represents the satanic kingdom of darkness. How do we know it's not just a power, but also a kingdom? Because Christ is bringing us into a specific kingdom, for one thing. For another thing, we look at Ephesians 6:12, where we read, "For we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Principalities, we have pointed out to you, and powers represent the governmental system of Satan. That's a cheap imitation of the original governmental system of the Sons of El, Spirit being the will, that was organized and created by Christ, God the Son, the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, I should say. It's taught in Colossians 1, beginning verse 14. First Peter 2, chapter 9, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now Lucifer, Satan the devil, appears to the unsaved and the spiritual carnal believers as an angel of light, 2 Corinthians 11, 14. Satan can confuse people with his appearance as an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into the angel of light." 2 Timothy 3:7 says, "Fallen man is ever learning," and it quotes the verse itself, "ever learning and never able to come to a knowledge of truth." Fallen saved man is incapable. Impossible and incapable of understanding spiritual phenomena because he has no relationship with God. How many times have we pointed out to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 to 14? But as it is written, "I have not seen, nor ever heard, neither been in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the Spirit of man which is in him? He will say the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God, and will receive not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. And will not know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. For which the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of this world, for their first is in him. And he cannot know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Therefore, even though there is no real scientific evidence that creation evolved out of nothing, the unbeliever rejects divine creation and believes the lie of evolution. The Hebrew word created in Genesis 1:1 by Allah, we've given you many times, D-A-R-A, is the same word used for creation of man, Genesis 1:27. It means to manufacture something out of nothing. It is also used for the creation of sea creatures, Genesis 1:21. The distinction leaves no scriptural authority for evolution. This distinction, the use of bara, not asa, manufacturing something out of something, bara leaves absolutely no room to have any kind of scriptural authority for evolution. The Father decreed the creation of man. Man was in the divine decree, Genesis chapter 1, verse 21, Genesis 1, verse 26, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." He designed a human body and a human soul for God the Son to take upon himself, Colossians 1:15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. We put that with Hebrews 10:5. In the world, he said, "A sacrifice and offerings I would have not, but a body I have prepared." Me. It came in through hypostatic union, Hebrews 1:3. Who being the brightness, that is the effulgence of his glory, and the expression of his express image of his person, that's the expression of his substance, hypostasis, from which we get the word hypostatic. Upholding all things by the word of his power, we had by himself purged our sins, and down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Christ's human nature was designed in the image and likeness of God. Genesis 1:26a, God said, let us make man our image. John 1:14-17. It's all familiar material, but has to be redone to remind you, because we're fixing to hit on Adam with some things you may not have ever thought about. We're going to look at Adam in a unique way, before and after the fall, and it's very important. John 1:14-17, and the Word was made flesh, verse 14, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Verse 18, no man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. The Son did not take upon himself the human nature until the fullness of time. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler of Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Isaiah 7:13-14, 9:6-7 teaches that the child was born in Bethlehem, but the Son was from everlasting. We put this passage with Galatians 4:4. And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made of the law. Until the fullness of time, when he was born of a woman by divine conception. Genesis 3:15 was the promise of this to Eve after the fall. And I will put enmity between me, that was Satan, and the woman, and between thy seed, Satan's seed, and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Satan's head was crushed by Christ. Luke 1:31-35. And behold, I shall conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, and he shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever in his kingdom. There shall be no end. Matthew 1:23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted as God is with us. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ is God the Son, John 1:1-5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God the Father, and the Word was God the Son. The same was in the beginning with the triune Godhead. All things were made by him, the Lord God the Son. And without him, God the Son was not anything made that was made. In him, God the Son was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Verses 11-14. And the Word, the Logos, was made flesh, became the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his, God the Son's glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This is he, the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me. For he is God the Son, was before this is my doctrinal translation, of course. And his, the Lord Jesus Christ, for us, and we are received in grace for grace, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The man has seen God the Father at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath exegeted him, explained him. King James has declared, the American, New American Standard, explained. The Greek word means exegeted. In the divine essence of essence, God in his own triune person, no human being in the flesh has ever seen God in such a way, but God, born in angelic form, especially incarnate as Christ Jesus, was seen in him. Verses 18:2-22, John 14:8-9. As Emmanuel, he is both eternal God and perfect man in Matthew 1:23. Now Adam was created in the likeness of God, Genesis 5:1. This is the book of generations of Adam in the day that God created man in the likeness of God, made him. Adam is the natural head of the race, Luke 3:38. Which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. Adam is the son of God by creation, not God the son of God by creation. The natural head of the race is a contrasting type of Christ, the head of the new creation, Romans 5:14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned. After sinning either Adam, transgression is the figure of him that is to come, 1 Corinthians 15:21. Says by man came death, by man also came the resurrection dead, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Adam was created in the likeness of God then because he was created in the likeness of the Son, Genesis 1:26b. 1:26a, we point out to you, speaks of God, of the body for the Lord Jesus Christ, predesigned by God the Father, and God said, let us make man in our image. Because Christ was to be the firstborn, the body was designed to be of Christ. Adam's body was like that, though. Because it says in verse 27, so God created man in his own image. However, we must not forget that Adam, as the fellow head of the Adamic human race, freely chose to disobey God. Genesis 3:6b. Verse, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, the tree to be desired to make one alive, she took of the fruit thereof and eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. 1 Timothy 2:13, 14, 15. 1 Timothy 2:13, 14, For Adam was first formed in Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman was being deceived was in the transgression. We must not forget that Adam is a fellow head of the Adamic human race, freely chose to disobey God, and in doing so, brought down the entire race. 1 Corinthians 15:22a, and Adam all die. Romans 5, 12. Wherefore, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And remember, the Adamic human race is born the likeness, and after the image of fallen Adam, not of God, the image of God that was lost in the fall. For the image of fallen Adam, Genesis chapter 5, verse 4. And the verse 3, when Adam lived 130 years and began his son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. Seth was born in the image of Adam, not in the image of God. Adam lost. There's still something there, but not the full image anymore, by far, because Adam sinned. God is perfect. Only the redeemed man becomes triune and again restores himself proportionately to the image of God through the new creation which is inside of him, the human spirit. We become the new created being in Christ Jesus. At the moment of conception, the nature of corruption, i.e. the old sin nature, genetically passed down to the human father's sperm, to the man's productive egg cell immediately contaminates the newly formed life. Psalm 51:5. Behold, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. All Adamic human life is born with the nature of corruption, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, that's our old sin nature, and we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We deceive ourselves. All right, because we're born of the nature of corruption, therefore we stand condemned before God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. And an old familiar verse, one of the favorite ones that you learned in navigator and Bible memory associations with those that were involved that years ago. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin are death, the salary, the payment for sin is death. Having his grace and mercy, the Father's perfect plan provides salvation to all who die before the age of accountability. Mark 10:14, self-made children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. Now, how do we know that this is true? Because of the divine value placed upon the blood work of Christ. John 1:29. John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. He put that with Romans chapter 3, verse 25. God has set forth to be a perpetuation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past to the forbearance of God, with 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Well, children, these things write unto you that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and our Father's only, but also for the sins of the whole world. This brings us to fallen Adam, but before we can examine fallen Adam a little bit and begin to move into the kinetics, civilization, which was a kingdom, the kinetic kingdom, violation of Satan versus the kingdom of God, we need to look back and get a bigger picture of the Adam of the fall. The Adam that fell. We need to appreciate him more than what he was. I want you to stop and think back to when the earth was prepared and designed by the hand of God, the Almighty. Creation came forth. Now, Genesis chapter 1, we point out to you verses 3 to the end of the chapter is the restoration of the earth. I believe the restoration of the earth is the antitype for what is not given to us, the original creation of the planet Earth. I'm trying to tie and duplicates it for restoration. I have no doubt that original creation took the equivalent of 6 24-hour days. With man, with instead of man being created, the angelic world, spirit being world, the sons of hell, all the things that went into the dispensation of the sons of hell. But we read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was good, and the evening and the morning was the sixth day. God had adorned creation with his sublime and beautiful scenery, in which by his liberality man was introduced into his dwellings and placed at the head of it, there in heaviness, during the restoration of the earth, as seen in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. When the Spirit breathed upon the face of deep, we've dealt with that before. Now, don't you think the heavens declare the glory of God, the fruit of his handiwork? In vain, as we have already remarked, should God have displayed the wonders of his power and wisdom if no being had been raised up to contemplate them and to offer up the just tribute of praise we brought this up before. All of the works that the Father designed, that the Son brought forth, glorify the triune Godhead. How do we glorify him? By manifesting his excellencies to intelligent creatures who are capable of perceiving the tokens of his presence and feeling the devout impressions which these are fitted to make. A world which is a mere solitude or is inhabited only by animals possessed of no higher powers than instincts and external senses would have existed in to no purpose worthy of the Creator God, the maker of it all. The art displayed in the arrangements of the parts of creation, from the stars and the galaxies, all the way down to the kingdom of the bees and the kingdom of the ants, with their working order under the natural law that God created for them. The amoeba that can only be seen under the microscope. The complexities of the human brain that man cannot even begin to contemplate. What's in it? God was arranging and displaying things that appears to be a work worthy of his author, God the Father, and the executioner of it, God the Son, with the work, through the power of God the Holy Spirit. All three members of the Godhead had a role in creation, original creation, and restoration. When we find that people are by a race of a higher order, we see him and the objects which surround him, and are led by the gifts of his body to love and to adore the Father, the Creator God. We compare ourselves with the brute beast around us. Heaven is God's throne, but the earth hath he given to the children of man. Look at Psalm 115:16. Verse 15 says, "You are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth." You understand, the God that created the universe and made the earth is the God who blesses us. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. But the earth hath he given to the children of men. The creation of man took place on the sixth day of restoration. It was delayed until that time that the earth might be prepared for his reception. Having made the beast of the earth after his kind, the cattle after his kind, everything that creeps on earth after his kind, the Father having said in the dispensation of the triune God in eternity past, "Let us make man our image like after our likeness." Now, ungodly repeated it on the sixth day of restoration. I'm sorry, of restoration. And saying, in obedience with the commitment to the Son, the firstborn among all. We will let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created him, male and female created him. All right, when he created man in his own image, remember this was the body God designed for the Son. It wasn't brought forth and placed in the conception of the womb of Mary. It was some 4,000 years later, but the Father designed it first. Because the Son is the firstborn of all creation. Then God created the male and the female on the sixth day of restoration. God chose to allow Moses to sit and write down and give to us in the Word of God the origin of the human race. The origin of our race. If you're going to live and die with honor, stand one day before the Bema, the judgment seat of Christ, and have honors poured down upon you by Almighty God, God the Son, having evaluated you. If you're going to receive the crowns that people say about, and have no concept of some will get crowns and many will not get crowns, there will be special honors passed out at the judgment seat of Christ. There will be the great accolades that will be passed out at the judgment seat of Christ. Well done, thy good and faithful servant, a man after God's own heart. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. But how many people will get those accolades that will be like the oak leaf clusters to be passed around? How many will receive the crowns, which are the equivalent of the Medal of Honor of our country, the Victoria Cross of England, the Iron Cross of Germany? How many? When Moses wrote Genesis chapter 1, remember we point out from Luke 1, 69 and 70 and Acts 3, 21 that God has had his prophets from the beginning, that Adam was a prophet. We believe very much that Genesis chapter 2 is the book of the prophet Adam. Now, beginning in Genesis 2:4, down to the end of the third chapter, we've told you that before. We believe that this is only a smaller part of the book of the writings because he's called a prophet. We believe that Enoch, we know that Enoch was a prophet. Enoch left behind a something of which we have on a part. But God used Moses. These are called the books of Moses because God used Moses to record these things and to put them down very clearly. Now, the book of Genesis chapter 1 could have been written down to 1-1, down to 2-1-3, very little of these men. And it was probably was a portion of the third book of Noah. In the form of the apocalypse of the creation of works, the nature of the revelation was quite apart from any personal experience or recollection and could well have been given to one prophet as to another. The form of designating the deity Elohim is that in the section which appears to have come from Noah, and the style corresponds to those sections as no other portion of the Bible. It is a complete monograph in itself and can be best conceived by referring to it as a monograph, which was probably Noah's of it because the use of Elohim probably wrote it. But every prophet would have taught creation. I want you to understand something. Adam would have taught creation to Seth. Seth would have taught it. A line would have been passed down one line at a time. And then Moses took, and then the verbal prayer inspiration would have taken from the book by whichever prophet wrote it, probably Noah, as I said, and recorded and written down exactly the portions that would be there under verbal prayer inspiration of Scripture to clearly see what was happening. God created, God brought forth man. There are two things in these words which deserve particular attention. There's the unusual solemnity observed at the creation of man. Well, under other things, nothing is heard but the supreme majestic command, which is instantly obeyed, let there be light. Let the waters of the heavens be gathered together in one place. Let the earth bring forth grass. On this occasion, there is something like what we call deliberation and consultation, a sort of preparation for the work, as it were superior importance. This surely may be inferred from the peculiarity of the form that the creatures about to be made was of a nobler species than the other inhabitants of the earth and destined to a higher purpose. The Father's plan now called for him to crown his lower works by bringing forward the last and the best of them. Why? Because the Adamic human race was being prepared for the Son to come, who would be made a little lower than the spirit beings. The sons of Aaron had already been created. Their dispensation had passed. The holy elect angels had stood by God. The fallen angels had followed Satan. One third of all of the spirit being solar system governments of creation, according to Revelation 12, had followed after Lucifer, Satan. God is going to crown his lower works by bringing forward the last and the best. This is where we will pick up in our next class. Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your word, for your word is absolute truth. We claim your promise, your word will not return void, will accomplish all that you designed it for. We ask you to sanctify it and to bless it in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, saying, even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen.